we can go back and forth like this forever. But if we really wanted to do this, we just do it.
Everyone, this is Jack Stevens, and this is the Mustard Seed. I don't know what. I haven't named the podcast yet as of this recording. Basically, this is a review. It's going to be a fortnightly review. So fortnightly means what? I don't know. Every 2 weeks? So about twice a month, it's going to be a review of the blog posts I've done on this blog. Now, I've attempted this before, a review of my blog post. I did it once. It was, I don't know, not so successful. I can't remember when it was, maybe back in 2009 or so. I was just reviewing my blog post, and this isn't going to be so much review. I'm going to go over the blog post that I would have done within the two-week span of each podcast, or hopefully two-week span of each podcast. But it's going to be more of a commentary on it. So this blog, this podcast is going to have a couple of recurring segments. There's going to be review of the blog posts. So this week I only have a couple of blog posts to give y'all. And then there's going to be another recurring segment like money posts of the week. So like blog posts that would have brought in a lot of traffic if I decided to be all TMZ status on it. And also a blog post that I chose not to do that were interesting, and also blog posts that I might have wanted to do but just didn't have enough time to do it because I'm so busy these days. And then we're going to end the podcast with books to look out for. So some books that I've either read that are coming out, that have been out for a couple of years now and are relatively new and that I think y'all should look out for. That's going to be the podcast. So hopefully this works out. I'm also going to, I guess, end each podcast with some music and try to mix in some music in there in the segments. I really don't know how this is going to work too well, if at all, but I really want to try it. As you guys know, hopefully, I don't know, I have done podcasts before. I've done podcasts mostly with people. I did do a hip-hop podcast for about a year, but the podcasts that have worked have actually, I think, have been successful. They've been partnered podcasts. So as of you guys may know, there was the Priest and the Atheist podcast that's on hiatus. We've done a couple, and that's kind of pop culture, philosophy, politics review from a radical bent. And me and Josh were able to play off each other a lot. So that was good. And then there's another podcast that's a little bit on hiatus that me and activist organizer Rhonda Ramiro have done, which is the Bayan USA podcast. Now, that's on hiatus just because I'm going to be in the Philippines all throughout July. So you won't be getting these podcasts in July and early August. I come back early August. And she also just got married. So that was fun. Big, you know, wedding party. So that was good. So that's going to be on hiatus for a bit. So this is the first time I've kind of branched out into solo podcast mode. But that's all I really want to give you guys. Today's podcast might be a little bit longer than usual just because of that, you know, explanation. So really, I'm just going to do a little bit of commentary on blog posts that I've done. And let's just start. So I've done a couple of blog posts since late May. So one is a quote on Simone de Beauvoir. I've been reading some of her stuff lately. There's been a blog post on the Naxalite Maoist rebels in India. A little quoting from a friend of mine, Bhupinder Singh. He has a book review of the book by a journalist who spent some time with the Naxalite rebels. And then another blog post on Oakland's gang injunctions. So let's get to it. Off to the first blog post that I want to review. In a blog post on Friday, I quoted Simone de Beauvoir. I've been reading some of her stuff. I've been reading The Second Sex, a new translation that just came out. It was translated by Constance Ward and Sheila Malavancy-Chevalier. I think that's how you pronounce it. And This came out in 2010, so there was a translation of The Second Sex, this phenomenal philosophical work by Simone de Beauvoir in the late 40s, and the translation was really bad. So I was actually really excited that there was a new translation of The Second Sex that came out. In this quote that I have, Simone de Beauvoir is kind of using an existentialist philosophical position on describing a woman's position within society as kind of halfway between revolt and slavery, and of course her whole philosophical argument and context of the book is to get, you know, women into revolt, to get out of that position that men put them in, which is the other position, the othering of women in French society. It's a complex book. Simone de Beauvoir has been very controversial ever since she started writing philosophy. And I believe she's really important for the philosophical canon. Not a lot of contemporary feminist philosophers, even radical feminist philosophers, don't necessarily look to Beauvoir. And she's actually an extremely important person for feminism today. Not just because she started, but because she still has very relevant positions for today. And being that my background is in existentialist philosophy, and obviously Marxism, I consider herself very important. So I kind of quote from page 651 of The Second Sex from the New English Translation. Beauvoir is a philosopher, and she takes up the tensions of writing on particularities and writing on universals, and she takes up these tensions extremely well in The Second Sex. So that's kind of why, you know, I've been really reading Beauvoir lately and The Second Sex. So that's kind of why I put that quote in my blog, The Mustard Seed. All right, then on Saturday, my June 4th post was on Oakland's gang injunctions. So I put up a report that was done by Critical Resistance, which is an organization that seeks to build an international movement to end the prison industrial complex. And it's based out of Oakland. The report basically outlines what the gang injunctions are trying to do in Oakland and target. And for those who don't know what a gang injunction is, it's something that was really, I think, born out of Los Angeles. And basically what they do is they create these zones. They 50-block radius, 100-block radius, 150-block radius zones. And without evidence and pretty much without any type of legitimate due process of law, the police get a list of names, say they're gang members, and then they tell those folks that they can't hang out with anyone on that list, any folks they deem to be other gang members. They're put under curfew. They're not allowed to wear certain colors. They're not allowed to go out in certain areas. And they're really only allowed free movement within their neighborhoods to go to school or to go to work. And what this has done, especially in San Francisco, they've had gang injunctions for 5 or 6 years now. They really have been used as tools to help gentrify neighborhoods. They've been used to displace existing working class populations in those neighborhoods. That's really been going on in Valencia by the BART stations, in between the two, the Bay Area Rapid Transit stations, so subway tubes. And it's happened in the Fillmore, it's happening in Bayview, it's happening in a lot of areas in San Francisco. So Oakland is kind of using this as a tool. So the gang injunctions are hitting working class areas, the Fruitvale area, the North Oakland area, the Lake Merritt area in Oakland. And so recently the city council put a vote on defunding the gang injunctions, and that vote was defeated. I spoke on behalf of the South Market Community Action Network, giving the experience we've had in San Francisco. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there, and 90% were supporting the defunding of the gang injunctions. A lot of youth, a lot of kids, there's quite a few folks, very young, who were targeted, all Latino, all young men, you know, 17, 18, 19 years of age, who were targeted by the gang injunctions, aren't gang members, you know, do know folks who are in gangs, possibly, you know, might have family members, but they themselves aren't gang members and are being, you know, targeted by the police, by the Oakland PD, and they've been given no due process. So this is just kind of another tool being used in California to gentrify neighborhoods, to displace people, and, you know, this isn't good. So, you know, if you want to read more about that, just check out that blog post, that June 4th blog post. All right, then, finally in our blog review, shouldn't say that's really bad. Radio podcast host faux pas. So on Thursday, June 9th, I did a blog post on the Indian Maoist. My friend, blog buddy, if you will, Bhupinder Singh, posted a review of Santnam, who is a journalist from India, his book on his travels with the Naxalite Maoist rebels in India. He's a Punjabi journalist, spent 2 months touring the red areas that the Communist Party of India Maoist control. The Naxalite areas, or the red areas, in the tribal belt in eastern India. And from what Bhupinder talks about in the book, and this is a review of an English translation from Punjabi, is that it's an effortless read. You know, it's not as flamboyant as Ra's short travelogue on her travels with the Maoists that she's been getting a lot of flack for in India and abroad. He really keeps the reader engaged with really insightful observations on the Naxalites in India, on the Maoists in India. And, you know, for those of you, you know, who don't know, there has been a large few decades now revolt in parts of eastern India, really based on the tribal areas of India. And the Naxalites have been able to take advantage of essentially the government and the local elites just not providing basic services to the tribals and to, you know, poor lower caste Hindus within the eastern areas. Some folks have considered them a terrorist group. I think it's much more complicated than that. You know, of course, pacifists are going to be against the Maoist rebels taking up arms, but, you know, I don't hold that view, as some of you might know. You know, it is interesting looking at contemporary revolutionary movements. We can't really uphold them as the shining beacons of pure, I don't know what to say, awesomeness, of just purity, essentially. They're going to have blemishes. The Maoists have their blemishes in India. Other revolutionary movements have had their blemishes. And yet, surprisingly, some folks have supported, you know, revolutionary movements, folks who are even more on the pacifist bent. An example is the African National Congress, you know, and their armed wing, Spear of the Nation. They were an armed group, you know, that really pushed to end apartheid, and they were successful. And Nelson Mandela used arms. You know, they bombed, they did urban sabotage, they did urban bombings. They had guerrilla units outside of South Africa and within South Africa. And so, you know, people, I just think people have to think hard, you know, and what is acceptance of, and what type of violence people are accepting. So people who speak ill of the Naxalites in India about their violence, and yet somehow remaining not so much silent, but almost accepting of the state violence in India against the tribals and against the lower caste. Essentially taking tools away from the lower caste and from the tribals that they could use to fight for their own survival. So, you know, I really think people should pay attention to that type of stuff. If there was no Maoist movement in India, what type of death and destruction would be wrought upon these populations? And not just the destruction and death brought about by the state of India through the military, through the police, and through the paramilitaries it funds, but also just the death and destruction by the current economic model that's exploiting the tribals in the eastern areas of India and the lower caste Hindus. If we weren't willing to accept the death and destruction of Africans in South Africa through the apartheid system, and we're willing to accept the violent overthrow of the state through the ANC and through their armed wing and the South African Communist Party, then those same people who are criticizing the Maoist movement for using violence, we just need to step back and look and see what it is that the Maoists are trying to achieve, who are they benefiting, who they're not benefiting, who the state is actually persecuting, who the state is actually hurting. And this book review and this book that Bhupinder Singh recommends is one way to look at the Maoist movement in India, and to try to get, and one way to cut through all the news headlines and a lot of the just bad information that's out there. And there you have it. And by the sound of that music, that means we're on to the next segment of this podcast, the Money Post podcast, the posts on my blog that would have, I guess, brought in the money, brought in a lot of views, a lot of hits. And if I was getting paid for this, which I'm not, they would have been posts that would have amped up my blog revenue. So here we go. Starting number one, the number one kind of money post that I guess would have brought in a lot of viewers through searches and a lot of links. The Anthony Weiner story, Representative Weiner, as we all know from watching the news. This has really been pushing aside a lot of the important news that's been going on out there in the world, such as the expansion of U.S. military airstrikes in Yemen, the continued supporting of these Libyan rebels that we really don't know a lot about in Libya, protests in Greece and whatever. So yeah, so the Anthony Weiner story, not necessarily something I want to blog about, but I do have this one clip from the Colbert Report, a really good clip that I just kind of want to share with you guys. It kind of sums up the whole Anthony Weiner thing pretty well, and he could say it better than almost anyone else can.
Okay, here's what we know, folks. First of all, he's not a Republican. Second, he's circumcised. Third, 4 days ago, Representative Weiner's Twitter account sent a twit pic to a female college student over the Twitter. Now, I'm going to show you the photo right now. So send your children out of the room if you don't want them to grow up with a massive inferiority complex. Jim? Yowza! How do you even tweet that thing? That is at least 150 characters. Of course, the congressman claims he was hacked and has denied responsibility, but the question remains, is this or is this not Representative Weiner's chief of staff? Because I don't know about you folks, this does not sound like a denial to me, Jim.
You can't definitively say whether it's you or not.
I can definitively say that I did not send this.
But that's not a picture of you.
You know, I can't say with certitude. It certainly doesn't look familiar to me, but I don't want to say with certitude.
I see only two options here. Either Anthony Weiner has too many photos of his crotch to keep track, or certitude is his nickname for his penis. Well, I hope to get to the bottom of this soon. But in the meantime, it must be a difficult time for the congressman. My sympathy and or envy goes out to him.
So yeah, so Congressman Anthony Weiner tweeted a picture of his crotch. He's actually been tweeting a lot of pictures of himself. So would have brought in a lot of hits, but this isn't really the subject matter that my blog deals with. And I really don't kind of give a shit about what happens to this asshole. If he resigns, if he stays on, whatever, you know. But not something I want to blog about. Something I can podcast on, just to give you a nice clip from the Colbert Report. But that's about all you're going to get out of me from that. And in fact, I think that kind of ends the segment. There wasn't too much I really wanted to blog on these past couple of weeks. And there hasn't been a lot of news these past couple of weeks, except the Anthony Weiner story. That would have brought in a lot of traffic. Although it was the 40th anniversary of the Pentagon Papers being released, that's extremely important, but not apparently as important as Anthony Weiner's cock. Oh well. That ends this segment. Now, on to the next segment of the podcast.
Paperback Writer.
This is the segment of the podcast where I recommend some books. Books that I've been reading, books that have just come out or are about to come out that I think y'all should look out for. A book that's out there, really, really new, just came out like a month or so ago, is Democratic Socialist Manning Marable's biography, Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention. It's been controversial. It really shouldn't. There's nothing crazy in the book that people already didn't know. You know, there's a little bit of talks on Malcolm's homosexuality, his really just bad marriage with Betty Shabazz. That kind of riles up most folks. It really shouldn't. The book is really good. Really good sections on Malcolm's political development and really why he broke with the Nation of Islam. We all tend to go towards his autobiography, you know, which was edited heavily by Alex Haley and, of course, internally edited by Malcolm X. Malcolm wanted to present himself in a certain light. Alex Haley, a Republican, wanted to present Malcolm in a certain light. So, you know, it is a much more nuanced book that gets deeper into Malcolm's life and gets insights that we haven't had in a while. One of the sections I really like is Malcolm's travels to Mecca and Africa. Most people tend to forget about his travels in Africa and kind of how that pushed him even further towards black nationalism, a little bit further into the socialist camp. Really good book, really long book, as it should be. Manny Marable unfortunately died just days before the book was going to hit the shelves. Really unfortunate. Really, you know, really good guy. Not as radical as I would want him, but, you know, that's what you get when you're in academia and a professor. I mean, you're not going to be super radical, you know. So, democratic socialism, good enough. All right, another book that I finished reading, really good book. It's called Revolutionary Social Change in Colombia: The Origin and Direction of the FARC EP. And that's by sociologist James J. Britton. And a book that chronicles the origin of FARC EP, what their goals are, how many fighters they have. It really cuts through all the political bullshit that's been floating around, all the just bullshit newspaper articles about the FARC EP. I have my criticisms of the FARC EP. I don't like their programs that they have with indigenous people. Some indigenous tribes actually really benefit from the FARC EP, some don't. So that's and Britton does just touch on that in the book. He offers a relatively non-biased position on the FARC EP as an academic. Really talks about the strength in the countryside of the FARC EP, their involvement in the trade union movements. How they're and really the big thing is the whole cocaine thing. There's been these myths around that FARC get most of their money from the cocaine business, and really Britton really focuses on that and really demolishes that myth. The FARC EP actually help eradicate a lot of coca use in their areas, and the areas that have the most coca use that is processed then into cocaine is actually the right wing paramilitary areas. Most of the human rights, almost all of them, come from those human rights abuses, come from those right-wing paramilitary areas. So the book is really good at dispelling a lot of myths. And if you're just sick and tired of all the media hype about, you know, extortion, cocaine, kidnappings, you know, narco-terrorism, you know, blah, 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 all that shit, just read this book, Revolutionary Social Change in Colombia. Really, really good book by Pluto Press. Just came out a couple years ago, I think 09, 010. I don't have the book on me. It's packed away in one of my boxes. I'm moving as well. So, and all right, that's it for the podcast. Not too bad, you know. Wish I was a little bit more snarky. Wish I inserted a couple more jokes in there. But that's the problem with having a podcast by yourself. I can't play words off of another person. One can't have this, you know, nice tit-for-tat, back-and-forth type of stuff, playing off of each other, feeding off of each other's energy, which is why I really think, you know, having a co-host is good. But this is, you know, this is a podcast on my own blog. Can't spend time looking for, you know, a host for this and trying to set up schedules when everyone I know is busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. So, you know, I'll try to make the next podcast a little bit more snarkier, a little bit shorter. It's actually probably going to be the last podcast before I leave for the Philippines. So there you go. What should I do? You know what? I'm going to end this podcast with some music. What? You know what? Chris De Leon, Christine De Leon, goes by the name Rocky Rivera. That's her MC name. Just came out with a mixtape. You can get it off of Beat Rock Music. It's called the Pop Killer Mixtape. Really good. So we'll leave you with the song off of the Pop Killer Mixtape. This is a song based off of another song by the Jacka from his Tear Gas album. It was called Girls. Really shitty song, but it was like really catchy, but it was like a terrible song. So I like what Rocky Rivera did in the song. She flipped it, made it an empowering song for women when it originally was very denigrating. All right, hope you're still listening to this, haven't been bored out of your mind, and, you know, thank you for listening to this podcast. See you in a couple of weeks, hopefully. No promises.
So I'ma give it to them, girls. and I never stop. Killing them with the flow, giving them all I got. Gunning after your spot, you can sit back and watch. I'ma be the it girl, always been the shit girl. Get it from my mama, real prima donna. Queen of the kush, I'm a marijuana farmer. Ain't no MC quite like me, but the boys only want one thing, and that's girls. With my girls, do you like a Tarantino flick with my girls? Yeah, I share lipstick with my girls, but I'll never start a fight over dick with my girls. And I got it like Pop Fly, while his daughter's so bad. That's my pop why. I got my rhymes on and my shine on. All Kellys wanna get their bump and grind on. Guaranteed it's going down. Rosa on the tables with that rude gal sound. Ariana microphone, about to put it down. So it's girls, girls, girls when we come into your town.
Girls, girls.
Swag on, tip your hat slow in your cocks in attention. Your lips is saying, what's up? Your mind is saying, let's fuck. I see right through you, boo, and what you got ain't nothing new. Fuck shots and paper rolls, tar possums and dirty hoes. I'll never fuck with a nigga that put that dirty white girl all in his nose. You see me shining, doing the impossible. Double check your list, and I bet you I'm on top of them. You say you boss, bitch? Wait, hold up. Isn't that a G-Shock? You need to stop. I see you posing and I'm knocking them like dominoes. Time stays ticking, so I gotta say adios.